You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber back together again as the tape indicates. Another rough open on this Tuesday. Futures week, NASDAQ on pace for what would be the worst three-day slide since March 9th. Lots of news on Tesla, airlines, Exxon, GM, Nikola, and more. Our roadmap begins with tech's big tumble. NASDAQ futures indicate a 3% plus drop at the open.
Then Nikola's partnership with GM. Why both stocks are set to surge this morning despite, of course, the broader sell-off.
And finally, this Tesla snub, the S&P's decision to leave Tesla out of its benchmark, having a huge impact on the stock. Not the only reason, of course. We'll explain why later on this hour. Jim, thank goodness you're back, man. It was good to get your take from home, at least on Friday, amid this madness.
Well, I'll tell you, what I saw last week and I see today is this parabolic move. Look, Friday's close. I thought it was what we would call phony. I mean, the big rally, please. And I didn't think there was anything to it other than short covering. I think we'll revisit the lows that we saw Friday, and then we have to rethink because the selling, frankly, is too hard this morning. That doesn't mean that I don't think ultimately the people who don't know what they own shouldn't sell. I'm just saying this is just trying to find price discovery where we were Friday and then be able to figure out what to do. David, you know that that kind of rally on Friday based on nothing is really a sign that people are desperate and shorts are were desperate to cover.
Yeah, and to your point, trying to sort of figure out where there's a real bottom and if there was one or is one. You know, Jim, it's funny because somebody be, oh, these stocks were all down on no news.
No.
Remember all the days, day after day after day, week after week after week, maybe even month after month where all these stocks were up on no news and we just sit here and question their valuations to some extent, understanding the underlying businesses were very strong, but nonetheless, this is the price to sales. No, this is the price to sales. And earnings per share multiples that were, through the roof. And here we are now, people wondering, as they often do, well, gee, why is it coming down on no news?
Look, I think it's really important. I put together a list. I have this Cramer COVID-19 index of the winners. You're right, David. I mean, are we looking at times earnings? I mean, everything is time sales. Everything. And what happens when you have that is that the value guys, the S&P guys, not even S&P names, they're not going to come in. The margin guys are going to get margined out. And I am specifically going to call out the Robinhood people. I know that this is something that we're not necessarily focused on in the sense that there's a broader cohort than Robinhood, and I'm using it as a rubric. But many of them are so over their heads that they will get so angry that I said that. But, Carl, I remember in March and April of 2000, I remember what it was like. I know there were a lot of people who said, you know what, I'm a millionaire. I'm not going to pay taxes. I'm a millionaire. Carl, these people lost everything. I think it's my job as a guy who follows stocks to say, do you know what the stock is? I read on Twitter this weekend that there were some people who just said, look, you know what? I love XYZ. And when I find out what they do, and it's like, oh, will you cut it out? Don't be so damn proud of knowing nothing.
Yeah, no, Jim, you've been pretty interactive the last 72 hours with your club. This morning you tweet, high flyers, sell some. Please, please, please. But to your point about Robinhood, and David, I'm sure at some point this morning we're going to get to SoftBank, the FT and the Journal stories on Friday and the debate about just who's driving the options market and its dominance over trading.
Yeah. In fact, we might as well hit it a bit now. It's not clear to me that the SoftBank story, which you alluded to, of course, a very large buyer of essentially call options on a small group of well-known technology names, all big cap. We don't know a lot of details. SoftBank is not giving them to us. They haven't really said much of anything to even confirm these stories, although I can as well at this point tell you that is the case. It had been in the market for a while. Of course, I found out subsequently people were aware at least of some of this buying. But it's not clear that it is the reason we are coming down at this point. Concerns about some trading desks and whether they're appropriately hedged to handle the other side of the trade. From what I hear, I'm hearing they are. But it does at least add some fuel to the fire, Jim, and give us a reason as to why some of these stocks may have been moving up to the extent that they were. It's also a very curious decision, it would seem, by SoftBank. Now, we've been reporting on this company for some time in terms of the asset sales it has been undertaking, the huge sale of the stock in T-Mobile. They're also selling some stock in their SoftBank mobile unit there in Japan. They've trimmed the Alibaba position, Arm Holdings. They may look to monetize at least part of it in some fashion. But I think, Jim, the expectation that they would go out and buy $4 billion worth of options to control some $50 billion worth of stock is unexpected. It does go to this point that perhaps it is no longer a 100-year vision they have there, but perhaps more of a minute-by-minute vision. You know, Rajiv Misra, the man who runs, who is, well, technically CEO of SoftBank Investment Advisors, has a history, of course, in that area at Deutsche Bank. His old friend Anshu Jain as well is at Cantor Fitz. Unclear whether they did any of these trades, Jim, but it's having an impact. I'm curious as to what your thoughts are, though, overall, about how much of an impact it may be having.
I think they're using a research firm, David, that has a reputation during this period of excellence. I think they're using Barstool. I think they came in on top of Portnoy. I think that they feel that stocks can only go up. And, you know, look, in the old days before I came to Jimmy Chill, I would literally say that they're knuckleheads, mountebanks, and knaves. Not anymore. I say they're ill-advised. And, Carl, when you have
Well, they've made money from it, though, Jim. I mean, it's been a winning trade, assuming they can take it off. No, I'm not clear that they have.
Okay.
And I don't understand the underlying incentives for why you do it, because it's not as though SoftBank's going to get a higher multiple as a result of doing this.
Well, it was a great trade. Portnoy made a fortune.
Yeah.
I mean, let's own that. If they take it off the table, whatever the heck they're doing, then you're right, David, they're smart. But they've just been lumped in terms of what I think, Carl, in the same breath of the people who felt that stocks couldn't come down. I mean, you know, the Fastlys of the world. I mean, look, what did they like? Okay, well, look at this. They like the Spotify and the Fastly. And, oh, yeah, they're like all over the – they should have been buying the drug stocks, but – you know, ConAgra or something. But when I look at what they're buying, I mean, it's the stuff. I mean, come on. Let's cut it out. I mean, they're buying Livongo, Zoom. Boston Beers went up to Square. Peloton. They probably like the Peloton. We remember there was a period in 2000 where people came in late. And this is what these fellows are doing. Now, look, it's entirely possible. Carl, it's entirely possible that we bounce today after we hit where we were Friday, and they take something off the table. Yeah. If they take something off the table, they'll be as smart as the other people who take things off the table.
So two questions, Jim. One, you seem to think there is something in the 10% NASDAQ drawdown that we barely touched on Friday. Two, why couldn't this be election season, September, October seasonality occurring right on schedule?
Well, look, September is a terrible month. I love the Jeremy Siegel was on today, Professor Siegel. I've always loved his thinking, stocks for the long run. And even he said, look, the NASDAQ is not for the long run. He was comparing it mightily to the period at March 10th, 2000, where the S&P held in, but the high flyers didn't. Now, I think the high flyers, frankly, are much better than they were in 2000. And I do, look, the election is such a wild card. But I do think, Carl, that when Siegel says that there are two markets, there's the market that is very much price times sales, and then this price times earnings, and he wants to be in the price times earnings, which is the S&P, and doesn't want to be in the others. I am not going to go against him. He's been too right in the big picture for as long as I've known him, and I've known him very, very long. His book is just it really is the book for this era. It works. And David, there's nothing wrong with saying that, yes, a SoftBank may have put on a great trade.
Yep.
But you have to take the trade off. And then I'll salute them. It's not 2000. How was he playing for the 2000-year-old man? I mean, what is he going for?
Yeah, it was a few hundred years, 300 years.
Well, I mean,
I mean, not
maybe
anymore.
Maybe Virgin Galactic or something.
I mean, you know, the Vision Fund, everything was supposed to be long-term in nature, I think, as a SoftBank investor, at least. By the way, the stock has done extraordinarily well as a result of the undertaking of this asset sales that they have and the buybacks that have come along with it. But it's an interesting strategy. And I don't know what's going on exactly there at SoftBank. As you see, the stock did sell off yesterday, I believe it was. As a result of at least investors saying, well, what's going on there? Because, of course, to your point, Jim, you may make a lot of money on this trade, but next trade you could lose a lot. I mean, has this company become more of a hedge fund than it is a long-term investor of capital, allocator of capital, with Masa, of course, having that view that about what the world's going to look like in 30, 40 or 50 years, not next week or next month?
I know. He'll get the bounce maybe today, and maybe he'll take advantage of it.
I don't know. And I don't believe, I'm not sure what they've closed at or haven't. You know, it's my understanding they had some call spreads on. They also had some outright, obviously, call purchases as well on some of these stocks. $4 billion is what's reported to have been spent. We'll see what the impact is. But, Jim, overall, where we stand this morning and where we're coming down, I mean, do you look to fundamentals to try to understand what really should be a level that makes sense for some of the so many names that we've talked about that have gone more or less straight up over the last month?
Well, if we have a recovery mode and people start going back, not necessarily go back to their buildings. I mean, Reed Hastings had some good stuff to say this week about how he expects 4 out of 5 days. Mm-hmm. But if we get the bounce in the economy continuing, which is what we've had, remember, the unemployed, it's really been pretty staggering how quickly it's come back from April, then I think people are going to want to go back to the 3Ms. I think they're going to take a look at diversified industrials like a Dow Chemical, which is already up a lot. And I think that the people who are, let's say, the newbies, let's call them that, who are pondering at this very moment what to do, whether they should go back and bet on the NFL on Thursday or whether they should own stocks, and again, broader rubric, I think that they got to go. And that they should go on their own terms first. But if they can't, Carl, then they're going to go on the terms of the margin butchers. And that's exactly the opposite of what you want.
But do you think that, what is it, Chiefs Thursday, right? You think that the return of football withdraw some retail participation in equities?
Yes, definitely. I think there are a lot of hot money. Had nothing to bet on, so they bet on stocks. They bet on the vax arts. I mean, I'm just looking at the stuff they like. Someone was telling me, Jim, so all weekend I was told to pump Workhorse. I don't know. I was looking at Show Horse. I was watching the Derby. Not a lot of people at the Derby, by the way.
What happened to your buddy Portnoy? He said he was going back to sports. Has he done that?
No, he's still the Davey day trade. Now, I am sure that people at home are saying, why are you emphasizing him? And I am saying, again, he's the paradigm. There are so many people who now, when you talk to them, they own stocks. I mean, now, these are people who've never owned stocks. And when you ask them what they own, Carl, they can say, you know what, it's a digital play. And beyond that, they don't really have a wrap. So I mean, let them be blown out, and then we can look at the stocks. I mean, look, you know what's not a phony stock? Microsoft. There was a piece today, though, from Goldman Sachs reiterating their sale of Apple. Oh, yeah, okay. So maybe they'll be right for a couple of days. But they've been wrong for I don't know how many points, including a split.
I
think that Tesla is a what? Tesla's a major part, Carl. Tesla. And it's funny that the people at SoftBank, I think they said they should be buying T-Mobile. Excellent piece today by Moffitt Davidson saying how there won't be a price war. So I want to take the other side of them unless they ring the register. Hey, maybe they had Nikola. Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe they were short Tesla and long Nikola. Hey, or Con Ed. Let's get all of them in there.
That's
going to
be a good
Tesla
trade this morning at least, Carl, isn't it?
Good to be back.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Nikola's up 28% pre-market. We'll get you up to speed on this new partnership between GM and Nikola to make the electric Badger truck. Big story and one reason why Tesla's down 15% pre-market. Back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
We're very excited to be partnering with Nikola. When we look at the opportunity to continue to leverage our technology, the Ultium battery platform system, as well as the Hydrotech fuel cell technology, this is a wonderful validation of our technology and then bringing our engineering and manufacturing expertise to the table.
That was GM CEO Mary Barra. That was earlier this morning on Squawk Box, of course, when she was discussing the company's decision to produce Nikola's Badger electric pickup truck. GM will also take an 11% stake in Nikola as part of that deal. You know, Jim, we had Trevor Milton on not that long ago, a month or so ago. We gave him a hard time. We said he's got to deliver. This was number one on his list, an original equipment manufacturer for the Badger, and it would appear that he has delivered, at least on this front. And, of course, as you see, shareholders also seem to agree. $2 billion in newly issued common stock for to GM for what they're calling the in-kind services and access to GM's global safety-tested and validated parts and components. They will that will have a lockup provision along with it, by the way. And GM will engineer, homologate, validate, and manufacture the Badger battery, electric, and fuel cell versions. It's an interesting move for GM as well. I mean, we can get caught up in Nikola and that stock, Jim, but let's not forget the ambitions of Mary Barra.
Well, I think this certainly would make it so she can spin off Ultium and also the Hydrotech fuel cell tech. I mean, this is a good reason to own GM, I guess, if you think they're going to split it off. As far as the Honey Badger, I don't really know what they get for GM. What does GM get? I mean, they get a list. What does GM get out of Nikola other than the money? David, help me here. Nikola has a list of customers, right, for the Honey Badger?
Yes.
I don't care.
Okay. Why not?
Because the Honey Badger don't care. There is no reason to. What is Nikola? What are they like? You know, here we go. I mean, let's just team up with GM and we will have a, I don't know, what do? They make the outside of the truck? I mean.
Well, they make a lot of the truck. I mean, in fact, it also utilizes their fuel cell technology to the Class 7-8 semi-truck market, and they say represents a high-volume commercialization of its leading Hydrotech fuel cell system and complements the company's battery electric propulsion.
Well, I just think that all the things that GM gives them are worth a lot more than what Nikola gives to GM, I think, other than a veneer of, hey, we're cool. I mean, yeah, their bar's cool, David. She's really cool. She's cool.
I'm wondering is what Nikola, what's Nikola actually bringing there? What are they bringing, all the plans?
I don't ask me. I don't know.
Well, I got to ask Trevor. I mean, ask Trevor.
He'd
come on with us, we could have asked him, but he didn't.
I prefer the call this morning. I saw a call this morning about Ford, a positive note about Ford. And what was it? Yeah, Evercore. A bet on Jim Farley. I think that makes sense. Farley is a car guy. He's not as good at as office cabinets, like the previous guy, you know, from Steelcase. That was not Farley's suit. Farley's more of a car guy than he is like an office, kind of like a chair and cabinet guy. So I think, Carl, that I like the Ford call more. I know that GM is going to go up. I know that Nikola's going to go up. But at the end of the day, I want to know whether GM's going to spin off this unit. If they spin off this unit, then we've got some value. But otherwise, it's just the same old, look, I got to be cool in Ford. You know, I'm not as cool as Tesla.
But it's a significant partnership, Jim. I don't think you should just, throw it away. I mean, they own 11% of the company. They are commercializing battery technology together. GM is going to be able to use what it develops over a broader product portfolio over time. And it puts a significant vehicle on the road for Nikola beyond its hydrogen big trucks and its fuel cell. You know, remember, it's a vertical system that it's got beyond that.
All I'm saying is that GM got a great deal. GM can now do something. It's got validated its EV technology. But what happens to Nikola next? Well, you read that Amazon, because you watch those ads, Amazon's going to be green, Carl, in 2025, and they're going to use a lot of these kind of trucks. And you see all these Amazon trucks on the road. Hey, you know what? They announced that they buy some Nikola trucks, and then you're fine. Well, you know what? I guess this is just good for everybody. I'm saying right now that GM got the better of the deal because GM just got validation of their EV, and it puts them like NIO. It puts them like Tesla. And everybody wants to be Tesla except for today. Just didn't make the S&P.
Speaking of which, Jim, Yeah, three big pieces of news, not included in the S&P, completed that sale of common that they announced on the 1st. And Musk has qualified for the third tranche of those options, another $8
million. Well, look, I know that there were people who were disappointed that it was out of the S&P. When the S&P started to really matter, we used to say, ooh, who's going to be added? Who's going to be added? Who's going to be added? Dave, you know, people played that game. And then the game went away. It went away actually with Safeway. There was like a problem with Safeway when it got added and everybody lost some money on Safeway. But, you know, we've got a lot of people, new people, David, who think that when something's added to the S&P, it's great. The only guy who did terrific was the at-the-money sale of Tesla at the high.
Yes.
But selling it to people who said, hey, it's going to be out of the S&P. Elon Musk is both a great stock trader and a maker of cars.
Yes, he seems to have ability in a lot of different areas,
yeah.
Actually.
Midas touch.
Don't forget, by the way, also stock splits stopped being a thing as well at some point during the end of the bubble 20 years ago.
Right.
And this stock moved up. How much, Carl, was it from when they announced the split? It was staggering in terms of the additional market cap for both Tesla and Apple from the time both companies announced their intention to split their stocks.
You know, every Tesla stat gets buried in a pile of other Tesla stats. So I don't have that one handy, but you're directionally correct, David. Take a quick break here. We'll watch the futures. Leader McConnell's on the tape this morning saying that the Senate will vote on a virus relief package as the Senate comes back to work after the long holiday weekend. We're back in a moment.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Not one of the huge price movers pre-market, but lots of news surrounding Disney today. Deutsche goes to buy from a hold. Lots of news around Mulan over the weekend. The parks at capacity for the first time since they reopened. We'll get to all of that and the opening bell in a few moments.
All right, we're going to get over to Jim for a mad dash. I'd want to share this with you, Jim. There's your boy, Portnoy. Hey, Elon Musk, do something. Well, $389 billion market value coming into trading today, Jim, on Tesla, but it's not going to be that when we open.
Well, remember, Elon Musk did answer Portnoy's tweet. We have to believe that that was Elon Musk not that long ago. So it's entirely possible that he will respond again. In the meantime, Tony Saganegi responds. He said from Bernstein, he says current valuation is mind-boggling. I like that. But he does say it's a fool's game to predict where it's going to go. If you want to look at the fundamentals of Tesla, remember, it is making cars. It did raise a huge amount of money. It has confounded everybody over and over and over again. So it's entirely possible. Let's say Elon Musk comes in and says, you know what, Dave? I'm going to buy a little stock. It wouldn't shock me, David. He watches Portnoy, as does SoftBank, I believe. Remember, the key to this market is Portnoy's next move.
Still?
Yeah, because it's the NFL doesn't start till Thursday.
When does this end? When does this, or is this with us now? You know, I mean, I know Portnoy has told you, I believe, that when sports really comes back, he's going to move back to sort of focusing on that. And we use him, as you point out, sort of as a reflection of
rest.
A broader level of speculation in the market and this broader participation. Does that die out? Does that end? Does that go the way that we saw it go 20 years ago, Jim?
He's a multitasker, and Davey Day Trade, I think, is probably going to be with us. Remember, he did say he saved the market on Friday. Now, there are people out there right now, older people, are saying, what the heck is Cramer talking
about? Yes, they are.
And I totally get that, because Barstool, they do, you know, One Bite is terrific, and Barstool's great on sports. But I think that this is an era where you have to come up with people who describe what's going on. Portnoy is everything that I'm seeing in the market that's exciting, but not necessarily after today, lucrative. Carl.
Guys, there's the opening bell at the NYSE. And look at the NASDAQ there watching some breath fill in. Of course, a holiday shortened week. We'll see what that means longer term. Jim, a lot of new research today, a lot of initiations. We're going to start to kick off conference season this fall. I mean, we could pick any of them, but I noticed Morgan Stanley initiating some airlines and Boeing at an underweight, saying that there's an underappreciated risk of deliveries that can be canceled if your plane is delayed more than a year.
At what point does Boeing say, you know what, we got maybe have to rethink a little bit about Dave Calhoun? Because there were Dreamliner stuff. Have you read a positive story about Boeing lately? I mean, every story's bad. It's obvious that there's people in the FAA who hate these guys. Have they done enough to clean things up? I don't know. When I read that note, the note is devastating. It is devastating because they're talking about a remarkable $73 billion that's at risk in orders. I had kind of was part of the Stephanie Link, my old friend, camp that maybe there's going to be a moment to buy Boeing. David, do you think it's wrong to question whether Calhoun is the right guy?
No, I think you can question whatever you want. May be too early to do that. Yeah.
Well, better late than I mean, I don't know. I mean, Ford got run into the ground. You don't want Boeing.
You were questioning Ford, I think, on day one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
him from day one. That's not been the case here, and I don't think it is right now.
No, you did not need a good office cabinet man to run Ford. Calhoun knows this business, but I'm just saying it is unrelenting. And you would think that at this point with Phil LeBeau talking about how it was a good weekend, there were a lot of people saying, Morgan Stanley saying buy Southwest Air, you would have to say, hey, listen, why not buy some Boeing? But, Carl, it just doesn't have any traction. And I'm beginning to look, do I think that Calhoun should go? I don't know. But I do think that something's really wrong there, and I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah. Jim, chips, the SMH below the 50-day, first time since April 21. A lot of discussion now about China rhetoric heating up specifically around chip technology. Nothing new, of course, but perhaps to another degree as the president yesterday at the Portico suggested a decoupling, in his words, of the U.S. and the Chinese economy. So how is this moving in your view?
Well, I mean, I think it's what it's doing is it's driving some money into healthcare, which has been a real dog. I think that when he says these things, people immediately think some of the rhetoric was basically you got to make everything here. And remember, Apple makes a lot of things there. I think the president still does not want to own up to the fact that we have companies that make things in China and sell them around the world. And it's actually good for America. But he's just on a tear against China. And this is, again, you mentioned electioneering. He wants to show that he hates China more than Biden. And then Biden hates China. I mean, you know, Carl, there was an article this weekend about how China's infiltrated the universities. I mean, China, the anti-China rap is just getting louder and louder. And that does make it so that the chips are a little more dangerous. The fact that the other side of that is that what can he do? What can the president do? Can he just put a tariff on Apple phones? I mean, how stupid would that be?
Yeah.
Cut your nose off despite your face.
By the way, we're 7 days away now from, from TikTok being banned. Unclear. I mention that because we've never gotten full clarity on the September 15th deadline, which is what its parent ByteDance and the potential bidders for the company had been dealing with. But there was another executive order, if people recall, that may have it may have extended it a bit. It was the one that applied both to ByteDance and to Tencent's WeChat, remember. But, Jim, it could be as little as 7 days till that thing gets shut down.
Well, look, I mean, I think that we're now in a world where I think the president may just say, I am tougher than everyone. I'm closing this thing. And that would be, again, something that would be all you need to do is try to separate them from China. Just get the code and separate, which is something that Microsoft can do. But the president, I think, again, cut your nose off despite your face. I hope that Navarro is listening. I hope that some of the chief of staff is listening, Carl, because there is a win here for America. But it isn't like it has to be that you have to destroy the Chinese Communist Party. You can win if you allow Microsoft to get this and have it separated. But I think the president's using a meat axe instead of a stiletto. And I think a lot of that is because the president is not a detail guy And where is the administration when it comes to what's really going on at individual companies? I don't blame him. That's our bailiwick, not his. But remember, if Microsoft gets it, it's good for a great American company. And I refuse, and yep. I probably dislike China more than anyone in the White House. I refuse to think that it's a bad thing for America if Microsoft gets it.
Yeah. Well, there's the TikTok issue, Jim. I mean, but there's a slew of other headlines this morning. For example, Beyond Meat getting near a production deal for a site near Shanghai. Starbucks looking to add more plant-based in Asia with Beyond Meat's help. Disney's getting kicked around today because part of Mulan was shot in the Xinjiang province. And at the end of the movie, there's a credit that thanks the government. I mean, that's a legit story today in The Hollywood Reporter.
Jeez, that's actually... darkening another story that was unbelievable, which is this Disney upgrade for Deutsche Bank, where they're talking about spinning off ESPN and ABC. David, this is your neck of the woods. Should a credit to the Chinese Communist government undo a Deutsche Bank note that basically says it's the Holy Land? We're just going to have Plus and then all that ESPN stuff where they seem to lose a lot of viewers.
Yeah, the idea being that, as they say, Disney goes all in on streaming and Disney succeeding in the land grab phase of direct-to-consumer. We know that's the case. That has been the way the stock has been judged to a certain extent, and one reason why it's only really down 9%, which if I told you at the beginning of this horrible pandemic, Disney would only be down 9% given its exposure to so much of the bad things going on, you might have said, wow, that would be, I will take it. Jim, I don't know whether they have, well, first of all, companies consider all sorts of things. I have no idea whether they've ever considered what they're discussing there. But, you know, the idea being that you would have a very significant cash flow producing asset that might at least attract some shareholders for that. You could perhaps put a big dividend on it for some time. I don't know. Who knows? People come up with these kinds of things all the time. But it does point to the strength of the direct-to-consumer platform. Guys, if I could pivot quickly, I did want to mention Moderna, which, Jim, I know you were going to hit before we got that Tesla tweet in the mad dash. You know, Moderna's part of that biopharma leaders that are uniting to stand with science. I know you guys have seen this. AstraZeneca, BioNTech, GlaxoSmithKline, J&J, Merck, Moderna, Novavax, Pfizer, Sanofi, all announcing this pledge, a united commitment to uphold the integrity of the scientific process as they work towards potential global regulatory filings, of course, and approvals for the first COVID-19 vaccines, saying that they will make clear their ongoing commitment to develop test potential vaccines in accordance with high ethical standards and sound scientific principles. Goes to this concern perhaps out there that the idea of it being rushed, perhaps even for political purposes, Jim, but Moderna shares down over 12%.
Well, it does. The Lorink note is devastating because it's saying, due to increased skepticism for vaccines that are rushed to the market now, just so you know, I'm enrolling for the Moderna because of the J&J. I can't. It's just too hard to get into. Moderna can be easily gotten into the trial. They have 21,000 people in the trial, according to Meg. I don't know. I mean, I want to get a vaccine. I was thinking about Moderna. Does this change my mind? No. But, Carl, if they're going to offer a trial vaccine that's been working so far, I don't know. When I read about what's going to happen in the fall, when I read about what's going to happen when these college kids come back and I look at the college numbers, I don't think it's so wrong to get a little Moderna in your arm.
Yeah, I'm looking at this interview that Reed Hastings is giving to the Journal this morning, Jim, of course, with a new book. They ask him, do you have a date in mind for when your workforce returns to the office? And he says, probably 6 months after a vaccine. Once we can get a majority of people vaccinated, then it's probably back to the office. He's no fan of remote work, Jim, which sort of leads to your broader point about a vaccine being a real catalyst to a broad return to work dynamic.
And I think that's what's going on. I mean, I think that we have a lot of people who say the door's about to be open. And if that's the case, then we've got to switch and we've got to sell the Fastlys of the world and Livongos. Maybe we don't get into the data dogs as much as we would like to, even the Rokus. And we got to go back to something like Yum. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, there was a positive note on Yum this morning. They're having pretty good, you know, you can, you know, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell. But look, but Yum, this is a Stiefel note, and they raised numbers, Yum. When was the last time you saw somebody raise numbers, David, for a consumer stock? But it's happening. It's happening. And then the Campbell Soup debacle on Friday, the interview, where basically they said, hey, you know what? I think it's Thursday or Friday. It all blends in. The stocking is over. I don't know. I actually kind of like the S&P today, just so we know. Led by Disney, David. I think Disney's going to lead the S&P because this split off of ESPN is going to be buzzing. And then GM, the split off of EV. So, David, it's called self-help.
These are things that are not actually happening except in your own mind.
That's very true.
Okay. Just want to make sure people understand that.
Right.
It's not like this is actually occurring.
You've never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
No, there's a Deutsche Bank analyst who mentioned something that seemed to have gotten your attention. And then as you point out, you like to try and create your own outcomes. You don't get an investment banking fee, but you like to do that.
I like to.
You've got GM at some point spinning off now with this Nikola investment of 11% ownership and the partnership they have there. So you have them spinning all their EV assets at some point in the future.
Yeah,
all right.
I think that's certainly possible. I also love when Apple, by the way, let's just go back to own it, don't trade it. When the guy who's been dead wrong on it, Carl, the guy who has to sell from Goldman, when he reiterates the sell, am I suddenly supposed to say, you know what, I got to sell Apple? A guy who says 2021 is going to be bad, is he the axe, so to speak? Or do you bury the axe in his, I don't want to create my own net. David is right. I have periodically had a vision. It was a vision kind of like the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Did it have dancing monkeys? Flying monkeys?
No, but it's a horse of a different color.
Those flying monkeys still, even to this day, right?
Very frightening.
Scare
That's
the
a
heck
horse
out of
a different
everybody.
Color.
Very frightening.
Yeah, you're right, Jim.
Apple is below a $2 trillion market value, by the way, guys.
No.
So just so you know. Yeah.
And how's our friend Tesla doing? If we just had Tesla and that's all we had and forget the rest of the market, wouldn't it be exciting?
Tesla's down 18%.
Wow. You trying to make a judgment
Rod
there,
Hall, keeps the sell rating. New price target of 80. Jim, you know what the real news around Apple is? Not Goldman's call this week, but the rumors about to what degree they are going to introduce new features on a watch, or are they going to start production of 5G phones by mid-September, as Nikkei suggests today?
Well, there's that 5G news. This is the news that Verizon's going to leave
Samsung.
Nokia and go to Samsung. David. That's phenomenal.
That's a big number, too. I mean, there's a lot of money. You know, there, obviously, as you know, there's a lot of money at stake there. Given
what do you make of that?
That's got to
what do you make of that?
I guess they think they've got the better technology and are going to be better able to meet the demand that's going to be there.
And that's actually true. I think that Samsung is an under, because it's from Korea, we don't talk about it enough, Carl, but they've done a lot of things right. And by the way, TSMC, Taiwan Semi, the largest forge company in the world. It's very important that we protect them. I wish that the people at the White House understood TSMC's important. Try to get they got to find out more about the stocks that they're banging and the companies they're banging, because it's not all one. They're not all Kodak. The Kodak deal, David, what was that? That was a good deal, right? The Kodak? Good deal for the CEO there. I don't think
Talk to your boy. You have to talk to your man there in the White House about
Portnoy?
That one. No, you know the other. Yeah, your other. Navarro. Yeah, ask him about it.
A lot of bad press for Navarro.
Maybe it came to him in a dream. Didn't you call it Navarro SPAC? That's what you were calling it.
Yes, it was a Navarro SPAC. Carl, where are the SPACs today? Yes. I mean, only do SPACs when the market's going up. When the market's going down, we don't SPAC and span.
It's only 9:43,
so
there's still time. I did want to get you on oil, though, Jim. Brent's below 40, first time since June. I know you talk about 40 on West Texas as a pretty important benchmark. This Reuters piece about Exxon with a $50 billion shortfall over the next couple of years, arguing that the market's beginning to worry about the dividend. Should we, I guess, is the question.
Yes, you have to. I mean, they're talking about a big Guyana offshore discovery. I'm talking about the fact that Exxon's they bought back too much stock. They are not producing what we would expect. And this is the opposite of Chevron. I think Chevron has distinguished itself as being the one that has the firepower, has the dividend, and did not. And here I got a reference, something that David has brought out to me many times. David, Mike Wirth did not pay. He dropped out of that Anadarko.
He did. He didn't let ego
smart,
get in the way.
Smart, dumb, good, bad.
Of course it was smart. Of course it was. He had his parameters. He stuck with them. He didn't let, momentum, emotion plays a role in those kinds of things. And also there was a buyer that that felt like it was a must-have asset for it. That being, of course, Occidental. And in this case, it was clearly the right move not to have paid that price. If they wanted to own Anadarko, which became obviously far above what they had a deal to to acquire the company at. But you, to your point, they've been a fairly smart allocator of capital at Chevron, at least, and in terms of making decisions as to what to develop and not. Not that they aren't getting hurt also. I mean, the stock's down 34% this year versus 45% for Exxon.
Well, I mean, Carl, one thing that you correctly point out, this below 40 is being taken as a signal that the economy is getting weaker. Against that is the possible opening trade. I think that we should be thinking more about supply. There's just too much supply. I mean, once again, when oil went above 40, the Permian came back into action. And the U.S. producers are just a nightmare. They just won't stop. And they're the wild card every time oil goes up.
Meanwhile, we're not talking Carl
guys,
at all.
2%.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Carl.
No, I was going to say 2% declines on the major averages. We did briefly a moment ago touch Friday's intraday low. So we're going to watch that along with shares of Apple, as we said a moment ago, getting slammed as tech continues to take a tumble on this Tuesday after Labor Day. We're back in a moment. Got a whoosh lower at the opening trade. NASDAQ still below 11K. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Morning, Bob.
Good morning, Carl. Happy Tuesday. 8-1 declining to advancing stocks. And if you're in the rotation crowd, you're going to be disappointed today because it's really not happening. Yeah, tech is weak, but energy, 4 days in a row down on oil, down 7% today. Yields lower. Banks are getting hit. So that rotation argument is not really holding up that well today, just generally weaker. But the emphasis on the weakness in tech. And remember, there's some headlines out there. Those comments from President Trump seeking maybe additional decoupling, his word, from China, that's not good for Microsoft. It's not good for any of the semiconductor names, not good for Apple. So you see all those names down here today. And the work from home stuff, again, down 2-3%. And what you don't notice here is the last few days have been really, really tough on the whole work from home crowd. So Salesforce, DocuSign, all those stocks to the downside. Slack's just up a little bit here. But we've got a healthy correction going on in this sector overall. And it's more than a few percentage points. Just let me show you from the 52-week highs now. And some of these have been a round trip in 7 or 8 trading sessions. But Slack, Wayfair, more than 20% off their highs. DocuSign, Zoom Video, even NVIDIA. PayPal's probably down 10-11% as well. Salesforce is probably down 11-12% off of its 52-week high. So we've got a serious correction underway in some of these names here. They tend to overshoot. I talked about this at the end of last week. So look at DocuSign, for example. 220 6-7 days ago to 280 or so on one day and blow off top. And essentially, we were at 200 this morning, a little bit over that. But you can see all the way up, all the way down. We were even below 200 at one point, I think, this morning briefly. So you can easily overshoot on these corrections, overshoot on the way up, overshoot on the way down on these blow off tops. But it's not insane that tech has been doing so well. I keep emphasizing the third quarter numbers are coming out very soon. We've got estimates. And basically, technology is flat for the third quarter compared to the same period last year. Think about that. That's quite amazing. And with everything else out there, look at the financials down about 26% for their earnings for the third quarter compared to the same period last year. Industrials down 65%. Energy, you're looking at, that's not a typo, 106. Companies have negative earnings. You're actually losing money that are out there. So it's not insane that technology stocks are doing so much better than the rest of the market. Just on an earnings basis, they're clearly outperforming. As for the S&P 500, I know everybody's focused on Tesla, but the S&P keeps changing to reflecting the world and the way it is. And the way the world is a lot less retail and a lot less energy generally out there, although energy stocks are not being deleted. But Etsy and some of the other ones that are being put in there, a tech energy, Teradyne, of course, a chip maker. And, of course, we've got some other ones that are in there as well, of course. Essentially, Catalent does drug delivery devices, helping companies, new technologies for drug delivery. It's a tech-oriented pharmaceutical company. And the deletes out there, it's the tech names. You've got Coty and Kohl's. Those are the two or three lowest market cap stocks in there. I think H&R Block is the lowest market cap. That's not a retail stock. But the main point here is the S&P is evolving to reflect what the country is looking like. And generally, retailers, old school retailers are out. Remember, there's a lot of them that have been thrown out this year. So we had Macy's, we had Capri Holdings, we had Urban Outfitters, we've had Nordstrom's, we've had Kohl's, we've had Cody's. And I'm surprised, frankly, Carl, that we haven't seen some energy stocks out there. We've got Marathon sitting down there, Devon, that are very low market caps in the $5 billion range. That's typically when they start really getting into trouble. And, of course, that's what happened here today with Cody's and with Kohl's. They are essentially market caps, $2 or $3 billion. Hard to believe when you're dealing with a company like Apple with a $1 trillion market cap, that there's companies with $2 billion, $3 billion market caps sitting in the bottom of the S&P 500. Of course, they are responding to that. They're changing the composition. Carl, back to you.
All right. Yep, absolutely, Bob. Thank you. Casino stocks, in the meantime, getting caught in the sell-off this morning. Wynn is down just about 5%. Goldman downgrades to neutral. But a mixed picture for other travel and leisure names as well. Cruises and airlines after an uptick in travel over the Labor Day weekend. We're going to watch all of that. We're back in 2 moments. Peloton rebounding off of a rough day Friday. Got down to 72, currently almost 82, as they announce the new Peloton Bike Plus and a new Peloton Tread. Of course, the stock up almost 200% for the year. More Squawk on the Street continues in just a moment. Don't go away. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Okay. Often, David asks me what's the key to this market. I'm going to say it's Roku. Why? Because Wells Fargo comes out with an overweight. Today, it's initiation. They're talking about an advertising heavyweight in the making. They are saying that traditional advertising is not doing well, but Roku could be the leader. Therefore, I say if Roku goes up today, it could be a leader in itself for the stock market. It just literally jumped. I don't know why we keep this secret, but there you go. Roku, key to this market. Fun to be swatted down by David, but he doesn't have the last word here, Carl.
No, none of that that basketball dunking on you like someone
that?
Just tweeted.
Don't forget the honey badger. Yeah. Think to Phil LeBeau at good points. They get the scale. They get the making. And I'm going to defer, of course, to LeBeau because he knows more than anybody.
Yeah. But, Jim, safe to say you're impressed at least at this moment with the degree of the early bounce.
We hit that level of Friday. And I think that if we hold that, look, there's too much selling pressure. As Bob Pisani said, 8-1, 9-1 is the classic level where you have to buy. I'm going to take 8-1, meaning that you should stop selling. And there's a better opportunity to sell if you want it, particularly the newly minted millionaires who all got together with my friend, buddy pal Dave Portnoy in a picture that none of them was older than 30. And I salute them, but do not be 500,000-aires. Take something off before it gets down to them.
All right, Jim. We'll see you tonight. Exciting times. Good to have you back on
set. You bet. We got Twitter tonight. Is it right that the two candidates get to tweet before the election? We'll find out.
Oh, very nice. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time, Jim. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.